Let us bow together in prayer. May the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, it certainly was a bit of irony. While in preparation for this morning's message, I was reading this past week about water scarcity in many places around the world today, such as the statistic that 1 in 6 people worldwide, that's 1.1 billion people, are without water. And while I was reading this, it was pouring outside. In fact, there was flooding of roads in many places around our community and in some areas of New Jersey still trying to recover from Hurricane Sandy and its aftermath. Yes, a bit of irony reading an article in Monday's New York Times coming out of Norbourne, Missouri. I don't know, Richard, whether that's close to your home or not, which has come through one of the worst drought periods in our nation's history, but now has been followed by torrential rains that have left flooded areas that have drowned out the corn and soybean crops. Fields dusty and dry one moment, and then muddy and saturated the next, and farmers fearing that their crops just will not make it. Water, life-giving, but also life-destroying. I was reminded of the irony in the poem, The Rime of the Ancient Mariner by Samuel Taylor Coleridge. Water, water everywhere, and all the boards did shrink. Water, water everywhere, not any drop to drink. As I indicated in my weekly email a couple of weeks ago, the June issue of our denominational magazine, Presbyterian Today, has as its focus the matter of rethinking our relationship with water and contains stories of several congregations where caring for their communities means caring for the water supply. Perhaps you're not aware of the fact that the decade from 2005 to 2015 has been designated by the United Nations as the decade of water for life. But what's changing? In light of this global focus, how are we progressing toward achieving the basic right of all people to enjoy clean drinking water? I've already given you the amazing statistic that 1 in 6 people worldwide remain without access to safe water. Twice that number lack basic sanitation. This causes exposure to diseases such as malaria and dysentery and typhoid. Women and girls in some regions spend as many as 7 hours a day trekking for water that often isn't fit to drink. At any given time, close to half of all people in developing countries are suffering from a health problem caused by lack of access to clean water and sanitation. Well, this is another irony, namely lack of access to clean water when 71% of the Earth's surface is covered by water. And 75% of the human body is water. Water constitutes the basis of life itself. Take water away and life becomes unsustainable. Quoting Cynthia White, who is the coordinator of our Presbyterian Mission Agency, Self-Development of People, She wrote, "Lack of water leads to cycles of poverty, death, and violence." End of quote. The world is realizing that water has become a fragile thing, fought over and threatened by such developments as dire water shortages, lack of equal access, and corporate attempts to privatize water. Dave Andrews from the group called Food and Water Watch has said that water is the new oil. It's become less available and now has a price tag attached to it. It's become a commodity. Andrews has heard some in the industry even talk of a future where there will be actual grades of water for purchase, like gasoline. Well, thankfully, communities of faith, including us Presbyterians, are among those trying to ensure that water remains accessible to all people. And that's why the title of my sermon, Water as a Human Right. The Merino community, which consists of Merino fathers and brothers, Merino sisters, and Merino lay ministries, operate what is known as the Merino Office of Global Concerns. Let me say parenthetically that many in the Merino family are working specifically for water justice in Bolivia, Panama, Tanzania, and the Philippines. Well, the Merino Office has released a paper titled Water and the Community of Life, which I found both informational and inspirational, and a great help as I've tried to put together my own thoughts and my words for today's message. The Merinos have joined with many other people of faith and goodwill in searching for a deeper understanding of what they call, even as would St. Francis, sister water. The Merinos, through their work in the countries I name for what they call water justice, have come to several conclusions, which I will attempt to summarize. They've come to believe that water is its own reality, a dimension of planet Earth and life-giving. It claims its own right to be the very fact that oceans probably arose over 4 billion years ago. Having been here so long, water has its own story to tell. Life in all of its form has emerged from water, and no particular people can claim it as its own. Its deep mysteries have inspired spiritual practices in all the great religious traditions. Water is an endangered species. Its purity and nurturing power has been under attack by human activity. Poisoned and polluted, robbed from the poor, wasted by the rich. Wars over access to water are already being waged, and the threat of more is on the horizon. When I traveled through Israel and the Palestinian territories years ago, I came to appreciate that one of the real tensions between these two people is that lack of access to water for the Palestinians. The Bible abounds in water references, as do the sacred writings of all religions. And I chose those three readings from the Bible this morning to emphasize that from beginning to end, Genesis to Revelation, water flows through the story of salvation. God's Spirit breathes upon the waters of creation, as Linda read that beautiful description from the first chapter of Genesis. God's invitation to abundant life is like a freely flowing fountain described by Jesus in talking to the woman at the well. And the Bible closes in the book of Revelation with a description of God's eternal realm, which is like a river flowing from the heavenly throne. Think about your own experiences with water. The real encounter. The feel of water when you're in the shower. The splash of water on your face when you wake up in the morning. The soothing feel of water as you soak your feet after a long walk. The refreshing glass of water, which is better than any other liquid. The sound of water when you stand by a waterfall. Or waves bouncing against your boat out there on the lake. Your gentle battle with water as you swim the length of a pool. Or think of water metaphorically. Think of the rivers that flow through your life. Think of the troubled seas that you've crossed. Think of the springs that have surprised and sustained you in desert places. When have you really thirsted for God? When have you felt overwhelmed by roaring waters in your life? When have you known the joy of drinking deeply from the well of salvation? Amen.